I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart. In my heart I have but one desire, and that one is you. No other will do. I've lost all ambition for worldly acclaim. I just want to be the one you love. And with your admission that you feel the same, I'll have reached the goal I'm dreaming of. Believe me, I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart.
I don't want to set the world on fire, honey. I love you too much. I just want to start a great big flame down in your heart. You see, way down inside of me, darling, I have only one desire, and that one desire is you. And I know nobody else ain't gonna do.
I've lost all ambition for worldly acclaim. I just want to be the one you love. And with your admission that you feel the same,
I'll have reached the goal I'm dreaming of. Believe me, I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart.
Okay, let's see. Okay, I think that, hold on 1 second. Okay, testing, testing. How's that? Is that good? Okay. Welcome to Soul Friend, everyone, with myself, Gaia Woods, and I have a wonderful special guest co-host sitting across from me, Mr. Zach Sherwin. Welcome, Zach.
Thanks, Gaia.
Yeah, I think your levels are good. Wait, say something else that's just test to make sure.
Sure. Glad to be here.
Sounds
enjoying
good.
The really interesting wall art in this studio. Listeners, if you ever get a chance to come in, there's a lot of eye candy.
It's really good, right? It's great.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that we did that on a couple of episodes ago too, where we had a little like break from the questions and tried to like describe the walls.
Yeah, I like the one that says you are enough.
I know, I really like that one.
There's one that says I say no to everything, but it's upside down. So I would say I'm more of a say yes to everything guy, but it's upside down. So maybe it's like, you know, like the swastika was a reverse Hindu sign for life, right?
Oh yeah. Oh, is it?
So yeah.
Oh, interesting.
It's like a death thing.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
The like the mirror image of it is like a good thing.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, really weird.
Oh, that's so deep. That's cool. Awesome. Okay. I usually actually don't. I was thinking about this the other day. I usually actually don't really give much of an intro in terms of like who people are on the show. I'll just be like, this is Zach Sherwin, and then I'll go right into questions, which I think is cool, but I think that it's of noteworthy, you know, it's worth mentioning that you're a wonderful comedian and that we met through a show that you produce and organize here in Los Angeles called called French Toast at Tex French Restaurant, which is how we met, which was actually kind of a long time ago.
We've known each other for years at this point.
We've kind of known each other for years.
Well, you're like a beloved and appreciated regular at that show. You've been there a lot. It's a great, I mean, I feel like I do run the show, and it's been part, I've been in LA for like 5.5 years.
Yeah.
And that show has existed almost that long. And so I don't remember what it's like to have Sundays when I'm in town in LA that do not have Tex as part of them. And if like it's the Oscars or some other holiday that we don't have the show for, I'm like, Sunday night, I don't even know what I do on Sunday nights because the show kind of organizes it all. And but it used to be at 9, now it's at 10, which works much better for me.
That is much better.
Actually. Yeah, it never butts up against sporting events, which is good. But yeah, it's free.
Are you sports? I don't, okay.
Hell no. But but people want to watch it in the lounge.
Oh, right. Yeah,
so
that's true.
The Academy Awards are always over, the Grammys are always over by the time the show rolls around. So, but yeah, that's how we know each other. And we just kind of, you know, game recognized game.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just became friends of that show.
Well, also, and the funny thing is that, like, I remember one of the first conversations we had. Oh, you know what? I've never told you this story. When we first, like, I think I'd introduced myself and been like, nice show, love the show, fan of the show, come every week, like, just FYI, you'll keep seeing me. And then what happened one night is I think I tried to drag friends and no, that sounds bad. All I'm saying is not all my friends are as big of fans of comedy as I. Yeah. Tried to get people to come enjoy this wonderful show.
I'm sorry. Can I jump in and pay you a compliment before you tell the story? Please, I was saying about not having Sundays in LA. I would like to think that if I weren't running the show, I would make space in my life for just coming on like has a chill Sunday night, like everybody's been having a weekend all weekend kind of vibe.
Yeah.
So I always just sort of am like, cool, guy is out there. She's like a cool, like attractive, not insane person, because all of those criteria always get filled by many of our audience members. Also, you behave appropriately. You're 100% on behavior.
I laugh and clap. That's usually where I draw the line.
That's all you need to do.
That's what you're supposed to do at a comedy show.
Anyway, so kudos to you for being such a long time. And now tell me the story that has to do with me.
The story that has to do with you, and also one of the reasons that that I thought you'd be good for the show is that, so I went by myself one night years ago, and the bartender, whose name is Mike, is that his name?
It is.
Mike was very kind and gave me a second beverage for free. So.
All right.
No, that sounds like it's the beginning of a scandalous story. It is not of a scandalous story. But anyways, the long and short of it is that, you know, I drove and I live very, you know, close by, and it wasn't, you know, a big deal. But anyways, I had had two beverages is the point. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to like hang out at the bar for like, I wasn't like wasted or anything, but I was like, I need to like chill out and just like hang out.
Yeah.
And then you and I started talking. And I was like, oh, perfect. I'll talk to this lovely fellow for a while and like have a conversation. And then like, you know, not that it makes it sounds like I'm like getting ready to do some drunk driving, but
do you, girl?
You get the idea.
Yes, I get it.
And then our first conversation, you basically, it was just hilarious because, you know, we got along well. And then you said something like, we were talking about dating and you were telling me about like some experience you had had. And I just remember it was literally like 5 minutes into our convo and you were like, I probably shouldn't tell you this, which is like, of course, like the preface to anything you ever want to hear anytime. But you were like, I probably shouldn't tell you, but like, this is a really good story about it. And it was just like, I don't even actually remember the details, but I just remember it was like, it was like dirty and weird and like, ooh, it was like, it was a good story, but it was like, you were kind of weirded out by this girl that you'd like gone, and it was like some weird sex thing or something. And I was just like, this is a cool guy. Like, I can get along with this guy. Anyways, so that all makes sense for the little that I know about you and like our friendship is that like, A, you're not afraid to like talk about your feelings and like dating and love life.
Yeah.
And that you're a comedian. So here you are as a wonderful guest.
Thank you. And I'm glad that was a good first interaction for us. Can you remember, can you cast your mind back and dredge up any
like
details?
What it was? I remember, we were talking about, I think that she like had some weird eating things or something. Like you guys had gone out and not eating, but like, I'm just trying to like jog your memory. Yeah.
Spark one thing for me.
And she had gone, like, are you vegan?
Is that I am.
And she was like, maybe trying vegan food with you for the first time, or I don't know. There was like something having to do with food.
Could
and
it
then,
have been?
And she was like super hot and pretty, as I recall in the description. And then I think you guys weren't having the best date, maybe.
Okay.
And I think, I don't know, I think there was something about food where you, I think you were feeling kind of judged about like you being a vegan and maybe feeling like that was like not a thing that like guys do. And she was kind of being hard on you for being a vegan or something weird. You know, she was like, oh, you're a pussy, you know, something weird. But then you were like, oh, she's hot. And then she like invited you back, maybe.
Okay.
But then something weird transpired. And I can't remember what exactly it was. Does that sound
The story that this rings a bell of, and you can tell me if this is right or not, is I went out on a date with like a friend who, like, we sort of like slept together on and off for a long time. Like, we're totally chill.
Yeah.
But she was in like a really stressed out place in her life and just like super frazzled. And she was like, do you want to go out? She's like, can we just go get dinner somewhere? I haven't eaten in 12 hours and I'm really hungry.
Yeah.
And I said, all right. And she said, I want to go to this French place. And I sort of thought like, they're not going to have it. I mean, French is like one of the least just sort of accidentally happens to have some vegan stuff on the menu kind of cuisines.
Yeah.
And so she knows, but wasn't thinking about it.
Yeah.
And we sit down and she's like, I'm going to get the charcuterie plate. And I was kind of like,
isn't that just raw vegetables?
It's no, that's crudité.
Oh,
maybe.
Oh, that's
this
crudité.
Is like slices of meat and cheese.
Yeah.
And so the waitress is, and you know, that's fine. Like,
no, I don't mean ew, but just like for you. Yeah.
It's kind of like, I thought we might be making out later.
Right.
And so it's still okay, but it's like, I'd rather, I mean, it's just whatever.
Yeah.
So the waitress says, well, you get to select. So I'm already kind of like gearing up a little bit for thinking I might be hooking up with this mouth later and now it's going to eat a ton of meat in front of me.
Yeah.
And then the waitress goes, you get to choose four cheeses on this plate.
Oh,
and she's
God.
Like, I just want stinky cheeses. She's like, the stinkier the better.
That's
all
really
the stinky cheese. And
say.
I was like, oh my God, what is this? This is like a sketch. And the waitress is like, well, we have a like a gorgonzola. And she's like, is that the stinkiest thing you have? And she just kept saying stinky. And I kind of felt like I was going to pass out.
Oh my God. I think maybe this was the date.
And then we did go back to her hotel room and she was like kind of getting amorous. And I was like, there were many other more profound reasons that I didn't want to hook up that night. She was kind of in a rough place and like
the
vibe wasn't good there.
Yeah, you don't
cool now. We've hooked up again since then. It all ends great.
Oh, that's good.
But I just remember thinking, this doesn't seem like it's happening tonight from my end. And
from
the
my
stinky
end.
Cheese didn't wasn't the reason, but it wasn't exactly helping the case.
I feel like that has to be the story. I can't think of any other story that, I mean,
maybe
I don't know how many like strange like eating stories that result in maybe like going back to a girl's place you have in your repertoire of dating, but I feel like that's probably the one.
I crush a dinner, so if we're going out to eat, we're making out later. But this harkens back to an experience I had in high school where my friend brought this girl around.
Yeah.
I wasn't even a vegan yet. I still ate tons of cheese.
Yeah.
And he brings this girl around and he's like, hey, you guys, this is my new girlfriend, Jessie, or whatever her name is.
Yeah.
And she's like, hi, guys. And she's kind of this like ridiculous loud. And we're all like judging her because she's hanging out with our friends and nobody knows who she is.
Yeah.
And we're at this gross college apartment and she's like, do you guys have any food? And my friend Cody's like, there might be some Kraft singles in the fridge.
Yeah.
And she's like, perfect. And she goes and gets these Kraft singles, like
who
a stack of four.
Kraft singles.
And she's just nomming down on them and she's talking and these stalactites of American cheese are just forming and unforming in her mouth as she talks.
What city was this in? Where
Missouri.
Are you from?
Missouri.
Okay.
And I was like, this is, I will never forget this image.
Oh my God. That's
I can remember
horrible.
Where in the room I was sitting when I was watching with horrified fascination as this girl talked
like
with her mouth full
of
chemical processed cheese
God,
strings.
Wait, were you vegan at that time?
No. Not.
But you know what? I feel like that was the beginning of it.
That's great.
That
right, exactly.
FYI. Okay. Well, that's fascinating. Okay, so
they're married now, by the way.
What's that? They're
No, that's not true. My friend Kyle did not marry that girl.
I was going to say, that was his jam, what? Okay. I feel like we should do questions
now.
Yeah,
let's get into it.
Okay, let's do questions. Also, if you're just tuning in, welcome to Soul Friend, and please call us with your questions or text us with your questions, and they can be about whatever you want, but generally like love, dating, relationship, sex, any of that stuff. Phone number is 213-54-LOVE-0.
Ooh,
I know. Isn't that great? You can do that. You can like choose to have a word in your number.
It's amazing.
I was like, that's great. Okay.
Did you have that number before you started this or did you get that
I
for this?
I got that number for this show.
Okay. That's smart.
Yeah. It's a Google Voice. It's like a Google number.
Great.
So yeah.
Great.
Okay. There's so many, but these ones came in really recent, so I'm just going to start with these. Okay. Yeah. Can you teach your partner to have better sex? That's the question. Do you want to start with that one or should I?
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to jump in. I guess it depends what you mean by better. There's certainly if there's specific things, you know, you don't like the way your partner you know, smells or tastes or something like that, then I think you can say, or even if it's some way that they're doing something, kiss me more softly, or like, don't, you know, I like when you do this, but just a little bit less pressure there.
Yeah.
If that's the kind of thing you mean by better sex, then of course. I mean, yeah. I feel like that's not even advice, just everybody.
Yeah,
if you don't know
like
that you can
do
that.
What you do when you sleep with someone is you like talk to them about what you want. Right?
Yeah, exactly. If you if you don't know that, you can do it. Say whatever you want to your partner. You have our permission slip.
Totally.
But sometimes I feel like I've been with people where the just the global approach to having sex
is just so wrong.
You're not wrong, but different.
Wrong for you.
Exactly. You're incompatible.
Right.
You know, one of you is more vocal.
I know.
You know, it's some kind of thing.
I have that happen, and I was like, oh, that's what this is.
Right.
Like, now I get it. Like, I kind of didn't get it. Like, people had always been like, so have you ever dated someone and then you sleep with them and then you kind of have to reconsider? Like, I kind of had that habit.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, that's
can
what
you tell
this means.
Can you tell a more specific story without putting anyone on blast on the radio?
I mean, yeah, I guess so. I guess I can just say that, like, I don't know. There's just sex that's kind of like exists in like no man's land. You know, that's like, it's like not like sexy fucking and like that kind of end of the spectrum. And it's not like romantic, like love making with like kissing and like, you know, soft touching. It's like kind of just like, oh, this is sex.
Yeah.
We're doing it.
Yep.
You know, we're not really, it's not really one or the other. It's just kind of like this. And it's like, doesn't really seem like you're paying attention to like my body or like kind of what I'm giving you as cues of like touch me here or do this or, you know, it just kind of is like you're kind of not like present and engaged in a way that's like interesting or like enjoyable, you know?
Right.
Or that like the person isn't like attuned to like you or like caring about like what you feel, you know? It's just like kind of one-sided. You're like, oh, okay, this is kind of one-sided, and it kind of is like in no man's land.
What do you think is worse, the selfish, what you're describing, the person who's just taking their pleasure with you and not, and sometimes that's good, right?
Right.
Like
sometimes
it can be
fun.
But it's not in a good way. They're just sort of like just not being attentive, or the person who actively is making a choice with how they're having sex with you, but it is not a choice that you think is not like it's bad, just it isn't working for you.
Right. What do I think is worse? Sorry, I got a text.
That's okay.
What do I think? Wait, go over the last one of that question.
Option one is person who just doesn't care.
Right, who's just selfish.
Yeah.
Right. Or like into their own pleasure.
Yeah, not tuned in.
Right.
No connection. Yeah. Two is someone who's clearly like got a style and sort of a take on sex that they're clearly engaging in with you, but you're just sort of like, this is not my style. Like,
Yeah, that's hard. I don't know. I mean,
you don't have to answer what you think is worse, but no. I guess just I've been with both kinds of people and not always able to communicate, like not always felt comfortable or self-confident enough earlier in my life, or just not open to being like, hey, can you do less of this or more of that?
Well, I feel like now I'm fine with telling people exactly what I want. So I feel like I would have less of a problem with, I mean, I feel like both of those options are both bad.
Yeah.
You know, so like it's kind of equal, but I feel like with someone who's like a kind of more selfish like person to sleep with, like it's easier to perhaps steer them in a direction if you like the person, you know, it's maybe easier to add yourself into that equation in a forceful way and be like, hey, it's also about me, and then just like, you know, versus you just don't like what they're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Totally.
Yeah.
I guess another thought on this question, if you're dating someone, I mean, the person said partner, the questioner.
Right.
So I'll assume for the hypothetical that they are asking about an actual partner that they have, and that it's partner level, not just someone you've gone on a couple dates with, but someone who you have formed some kind of significant bond to, even if it's not years and years, you know, it's not just whatever.
Yeah.
There's something to it. I bet that I guess if the sex seems so incompatible that you're like, I have to change this.
Mm-hmm. We just got a text from this person that says, no, just in general. So like not necessarily a partner. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt.
No, it's fine. It's good. Then I don't have to talk and talk about a thing that's not relevant. I think you can get people up to a point. And then at some point, there's just got to be that X factor between you where you have chemistry.
There has to be natural chemistry. And you know what? I always say that too about dating people. And you know how sometimes you're dating people and you wish that they would, this is a dangerous thing to say, and I'm not actually saying it, so FYI. But that you wished that they would kind of read your mind a little bit. And that's not actually what I mean. But what I mean is that, like, you know, even just the little that I know about you as like a friend in the world, like I'm gonna consider, are you thirsty? You know what I mean? And I'm gonna be like, oh, is Zach thirsty right now? Like, let me make sure Zach has some water. You
guy
know what
did
I mean?
Ask me if I wanted water when I showed up.
Yeah, you know, because I try and like make sure that like you're well hydrated.
Yeah,
you know, and I feel like, I don't know, I feel like that's something that like goes across the board for relationships and sex and everything. But like, if you're in bed with someone, I feel like they should kind of like go off of the cues that you're giving and then also kind of respond and be like, oh, I kind of know this about Gaia, so maybe like, and again, I'm not saying someone should be able to just know what you're thinking and read your mind in terms of like what you want and like, and that's where I think that like talking is necessary, but I also feel like, I don't know, you should kind of know. You should kind of like take some guesses and like, and that's what's beautiful also about like relationships is that when you find those people that kind of do have a second sense about you, then it's like really special. You know what I mean? Who do kind of like anticipate your needs and desires, whether it's like in bed or just like in life. You know, it's like, oh, Gaia had a rough email this morning. Like maybe she wants a tea, you know? It's like, that's so kind. Cause maybe I didn't even know that I wanted a tea, but of course I wanted tea because I did have a rough email that morning, you know? So like, that's what makes it like cool is when you have those like better connections for me. That's like, you don't have to worry about like, do I have to teach this person or is it like,
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the best kind of relationship, the best kind of business partnership, the best kind of friendship when both people are doing them, but it's pleasing and right up the alley of the other person.
Exactly.
And that's the kind of thing that's really valuable to recognize and hang on to, I think.
Yeah, totally.
When you hit one of those, it's it's special.
It's special. Yeah. Okay. Next question. I think we did a good job on that one. Okay. Let's see. There's another question. Oh, wait, there's this one that just came in too. How do I turn a friend into a lover? Which also, there's another question that I got last week too that was about that I didn't get to answer, which is, I'm just looking for it. Hold on, let's see. Is there such a thing as the friend zone? And if yes, is it possible to get out of the zone? Okay, so basically like, how do you turn a friend into a lover? We're gonna combine these two people's questions. How do you turn a friend into a lover? And then is there such a thing as the friend zone? And is it, and if yes, is it possible to get out of the zone? I don't know. Okay, I'll start. I'll go. I think that the friend zone is like a real place. I think that you have friends. I don't know. I have a lot of guy friends, and I'm not interested in a lot in all of them. You know, so like, I think that that's a real place that men and women can exist in. You know. But I guess what this is, okay, so the second part of this question is like, sounds like one person wants to get out of the friend zone and like, how do you do that? I've also had that happen where I date my friends. So I think that sometimes it can switch and you can realize that, oh, this person who you're friends with is actually a wonderful person and like something can grow, you know, and like the spark can kind of grow and doesn't always just have to be like this immediate, like, I used to think that like, when you meet someone, you have to kind of have this magic flash and it has to be this immediate, like you see them across the room and it's this whole thing, you know? And I think that's maybe kind of an immature way to view like people and relationships and date. Not immature, but for me, I feel as though I'm seeking things that are like deeper than just like, you know, whatever someone looks like and whatever like the first thing they say to me is in like that first conversation, you know? So I think that relationships can grow and you can realize that maybe people you're friends with like could be potential people. But I don't know, in terms of like how to get out of the friend zone, I don't know. Do you have experience with that?
Well, I think the friend zone is, the definition of that to me is You can have a conversation that will instantly let you know whether or not you're in the friend zone. The concept of the friend zone is kind of dumb to me. Like, here's what's not dumb to me.
Yeah.
Some people you are attracted to and would be open to dating, and other people, for whatever reason that has nothing to do with them being a bad person, you just aren't into them.
Yeah.
But it's really easy to find out in a very respectful and like minimally damaging kind of way.
Yeah.
Which is just...
Like, what would you do if you were like interested? I mean, I know you have a girl, but like,
yeah,
let's say you were interested in a friend of yours and you weren't sure. Like, what would you do?
Well, I mean...
Like, what would you say?
Yeah, yeah. I think I would say, okay, here's realistically how I would imagine it. I just ran through the scenario in my head.
Okay.
I would be like,
I saw that little process just happen. I was like, what's he doing? Okay.
I would be like, hey, do you want to like get a drink sometime?
Yeah.
And if it were someone who I were, really good for, like, close friends with.
What if you did that naturally? Like, what if like dinner and drinks was something that you like did anyways with that person because you're just friends with them? Like,
I don't really do that. Dinner.
You don't do that?
I would. No. I think you can tell when there's a datey vibe.
Okay.
I'm not going to say I don't do it, but if it's somebody new who I haven't met and I ask, I would just...
Someone new, okay.
Yeah, but if it's an old friend, like a person I've known for a long time,
yeah.
I think that's different. Like, then you'd have to... It's very circumstantial, but okay, so let's say it's someone who you've known for months and months. You guys have always had a friend relationship.
You had such a clear picture of what you would say, and then I was like, but what if it was this?
Yeah. It's fine. So if it's that kind of thing,
yeah.
I guess this has only ever happened to me once, but I just sent an email and I was like, we like made out one time, a friend who I'd known for a long time, and we were both sort of like, whoa, that happened.
Yeah.
And then afterwards I sent her an email and was like, hey, like, that was fun. This is strange to consider because we've just been friends for so long, but like, how do you feel about us trying to like start dating each other?
God, that's the best. You're so clear and awesome. That's great. And I totally think that's the best way to go. I like that.
Thanks.
Yeah.
If it were, so she was like, yeah, I get it. This was before people said, I get it. She was like, I understand the appeal of it, but I think we should just stay friends. And we were totally cool about it.
That's awesome.
I think if it were somebody new that I met who we didn't meet, you know, let's say we met through work or something, but I was interested in them.
Yeah.
Don't you think it's almost always very clear when somebody's asking you out versus asking you for drinks? I've had a couple ambiguous experiences with it, and both times I've thought the other person was weird at the end of it, and that's why there was ambiguity.
Wait,
I think usually you can tell. If someone asks you out for drinks, I think that's adult code for, I would like to fuck you and maybe date you. Like, let's go out to see if any of those sparks are there.
Yeah, that's super clear.
So I think I would say, let's go out for drinks. And then if we went out for drinks and at the end of it, it was just like, cool, that was fun. We should do it again sometime.
Mm-hmm.
If I was still into them at the end of that hang, the next time I hung out, I would say something like, hey, like, that was really fun. You're really cute, or like some, you know, whatever was appropriate.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'd love to do it again, but in a way that it's unambiguous. So I don't think anyone should spend any time in the friend zone. If it's distressing you because you don't know what's up, ask.
I agree.
And
I totally agree.
I'm totally dominating, but let me just say this last thing.
No.
You can also get out in front of it by saying, I'm gonna, like, this might be a little bit awkward, but like, if you want to stay friends with them afterwards, you know, you say like, let's just like, we're both adults, let's be cool. But like, I think you're really cute. And if you want to hang out, that's awesome. And if not, I'm not going to penalize you by never talking to you again or something.
Totally. Yeah.
Like, but yeah.
I feel like that's a good, I think I agree. And I think that maybe the friend zone is like a gross, terrible place to exist, you know, because you're always kind of like, wait, is this person wanting to hang out with me like as a friend, or like, do they want to fuck me, or like, what's happening? Like, you know, I think it's uncomfortable.
It's like lines. Whenever I see lines, I just automatically, it's like a rule for myself as an adult. I'll be like, I'm not going to do whatever this is, because it's not worth being in lines. Makes me really stressed out and anxious, and it brings out like a grabby, selfish characteristics in me.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay, lines. I don't do lines.
Yeah.
I'll figure out some other way to do whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's great. I love it. It's very liberating.
That's great.
The same with the friend zone. Anytime you're like, oh, I'm in the friend zone, you should be like, nope, I don't have to
take
do this.
Control.
I'm going to get out of this.
Don't be in the friend zone. Just do what you have to do to not be in the zone. Okay. That's a great answer.
As soon as you realize you are, you're free of it.
Yeah, totally. And you have the power to get out of it is the thing. It's like the other person doesn't have control over you. They have control over whether or not they want to date you, of course, but you have control over how you dictate your involvement in that zone.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Totally.
Totally. We're so good at these questions. Okay. there's so many. Okay. Oh, and also this person texted, but it's kind of like a little too late now. But the person says, she's flirty when we hang out, but it's never been totally obvious that she's into it. I think she knows I'm DTF. Do I put a move, say something, or let sleeping dogs lay? I think we already answered that. I think that the person needs to like have a little courage, right? And like just go for it. In a way that's like subtle and what, you know, and also I feel like the other thing is that, sorry, but just to finish my thought, the other thing is that I feel like as a woman, I feel like I'm not super comfortable making the first move. I don't really like doing it. I've done it, but like, it's not my favorite, or like I'll ask them, but it's not my favorite thing to do. But I feel like as a woman, what you can do is be flirty. That's your way of making the first move. And then if someone picks up on that and is interested, then, and maybe this is just like an old, you know, stereotypical like male female dynamic that's like not good, but like I think that it's fine. I think it's fine. But I think that if a woman is flirty, then it's fine for it to kind of be, you know, like I prefer it when like a man will make the first move and like try and like ask me out or like kiss me or something like that, because I feel like I'm doing my part and I feel like they need to do that. You know what I
mean? Sure.
So I feel like if this person who is in the friend zone possibly, if you're saying she's flirty when you hang out, then like that's kind of like she's interested, you know. It doesn't mean she like for sure wants to date, but like she's at least interested, you know. So
much from this. These questions are all like, there's a huge thing, which is dating, and you can just whatever facet you want. So first of all, women are socialized to be less direct. I think that's a generalization, but I think you know, like that's the generalization, is that women are socialized to be less direct and less upfront. And like, ladies, fight that. Like, I've never had a woman, I know plenty of women who've been very direct with me, or that I've, that I know are direct with the people that they date. And like,
to clarify, I feel like I'm direct, but I don't like having to like make the first actual, like, I'm going to like touch your hand from across the table right now. You know, like maybe I'll ask you out even, or, you know, but like that first kind of like extra step move, I like don't like making that.
That's fair.
But yeah, but go. But that's just like my personality too. Yeah. But go.
Sure. And we're all people. You're not doing anything wrong. But it is totally safe if you ever want to. Like, you should, as like a growth exercise for yourself, be like, I'm very confident on my gut here. The worst thing that can happen is they'll pull their face away. Yeah. But I've dated and hooked up with and know lots of women who will do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I've never been like, oh, this awful, like, you know, terrible sex monster is like doing this thing, like it's flattering
terrible
and
sex I'm worried about being labeled as a terrible sex monster.
Sure.
That's funny. No, I'm actually not, but
dude who's calling in, like, if it's a just DTF situation, definitely be, I mean, it's a little loaded for a guy to be like, yeah, I'm down to fuck. I don't know if that's exactly what you're coming at, but just make sure you're doing it in a way that'll make her, keep her comfortable.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, hold on, friend zone, the thing. Here's the question. What is the cost benefit of getting it out there in the open?
Mm-hmm.
The benefit is you have it's the only way to get what you want is to ask for it.
Right.
You know, with any control, maybe it'll fall in your lap, no pun intended. But if you want to have some agency in the situation, then you should speak up about it.
Yeah.
If it costs you that person's friendship and you handled it in like a respectful, appropriate, non-threatening way, you know, if you put it out in a good way and they're like, ah, whoa, you totally read me wrong, cut off, then that's not a person that you want to be friends with.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Anyway,
people, you know, I don't know, this sounds terrible, but I feel like sometimes I find myself on things that could potentially be dates where I'm like not totally like, oh, do you want to like get lunch, or, you know, and I'm not sure if it's like, oh, possibly work related or what, you know. But I feel like whenever people ask and are direct after that kind of thing, like, and are like, hey, I think you're great, you want to get dinner or something, you know, and then it's like, oh, it's clear that then that's okay, that was what that was, you know. And then when I say no, it's always totally fine, because the person's direct and we're friends and it's fine and it doesn't matter. So like, I don't think there's a damage that can be done really, unless you just aren't really close for, you know. So
okay. Or it's related to work or something and that's going to be weird, but even then you're adults, let's handle it.
You're adults. I've dated people at work, whatever. Okay, there's so many. Let's see. Okay, we're gonna go with this one. For guys, do you go down on a girl? Wait. For guys, do you always go down on a girl on a first date? Question mark. For girls, what percentage of guys have gone down on you on the first date? Okay, so let's have you answer. These are all about sex. No, we had a friend zone that wasn't about sex.
Yeah.
We were joking before the show that like all the questions are always about sex, but they're not. Okay, so for guys, do you always go down on a girl on the first date?
I've literally never gone on a first date where I haven't gone down on the girl.
What?
No, just kidding.
What?
I mean, I assume Stinky the question is,
girl?
I'm gonna reword the question so it makes sense to me.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. But I can answer that too. It's like, because I talked to the person, because I was like, what is that first date? Like if you go to the person's like how, you know, like if
yes,
they invite you in,
you go on a date.
Yeah, yeah.
The chemistry's there. You
yeah.
guys are gonna hook up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what's
yeah, like
happening.
You're about to hook up. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because okay. I've been on lots of first dates that are also the last date, and there's no kiss at the end of it,
right,
and
of
you
course.
Never talk again
yeah,
in that kind of way.
You don't like the person. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Okay, but both people are into it. It's hot. You're hooking up.
Yeah.
This is so case by case, but I mean, I agree with the... We talked about Dan Savage before the show, but yeah. I agree that oral sex is like standard, like comes standard with the car. Like,
yeah.
I don't have... And I love going down on people and on women. And I don't have any, I mean, I don't have any problems with doing that.
Yeah. I think that's a, I mean, well, that's not a good answer or a bad answer, but that's
yeah.
like an answer that I feel like most people should have. I feel like there shouldn't be a stigma about it. You know,
is the question because it's gross or something to go down?
I don't know
what the ask is.
I mean, maybe it's just like, is that cool to do? Or like, is that too personal? I mean, also previously on the show, I had mentioned that, or like there was another like oral sex question. And I think that I had said that I find like oral sex to be like really personal. And like sometimes like, I just want to like have sex and don't want to like, mm-hmm. yeah, like have oral sex be a part of it, which kind of doesn't, I guess that doesn't make that much sense, but I don't know.
It doesn't
it's,
have
like,
to.
Each
it's your
their
thing.
Own, you
yeah.
know? So maybe this person is saying that like, it can be kind of personal. And so do you do that on a first date or no? But I feel like also like, it should just be fair game, whatever, you know? I think you should do it. I think it, yeah. But it was for you. So you would say that in general?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, like, if I were hooking up with a woman for the first time mm-hmm. and she said, this did happen. I hooked up with a woman. Mm-hmm. We had sex. Like, we did other stuff with her pussy, but she did not want me to go down on her.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, during it, I wouldn't have done it during it, but afterwards, I think I was like, hey, I really like to go down on somebody, and it's like
yeah.
a big turn on for me, and also makes me feel like I'm doing my work in terms of like providing foreplay.
Yeah.
You know, so I was kind of like, is that always going to be like, do you never
right.
want me to go down on you? Because if
yeah.
so, then I have to factor that into my overall opinion of whether or not hooking up with you is fun, because
yeah.
that's like a big part for me.
Yeah. Fair question.
Yeah.
yeah that's
so,
yeah. What did
and
she say?
Had some, she had some issues. She like, it was never.
Who has issues with that? I feel like I feel like it's just like a personal, but also like, I don't really care. I'm making it sound like I just don't like that. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But like, but what issue? Like, well, that's personal.
She was. No, it's fine. She's anonymous. She was
yeah.
worried about how she, like, she was worried that she smelled and tasted
Oh my God, really?
Bad.
Girls
yeah.
were worried about
it
that?
It was, yeah, it was
oh
pussy
my God.
Shame.
That's
and I was
crazy.
Like, I've hooked up with people whose pussies tasted bad to me. Like, yours
oh
is
God.
Totally great. It tastes like a pussy. That's what I want. That's what I like.
Oh
so
God,
I had to sort of, like,
so
do
terrible.
Some coaching.
Oh my
yeah.
God, I feel terrible for her. I want to call her right now and tell her to not feel that way.
Yeah.
That's terrible. Okay. So for girls, what percentage of guys have gone down on you on the first date? I would say, I mean, that's such a specific
percentage.
Also, this is funny because it sounds like right now I'm going through all the like hundreds of people
yeah.
that I've seen. I'm like, well, let me see.
Check your spreadsheet, Gaia.
Give me 20 minutes.
spreadsheet is the list of people who've
yeah.
gone down on you.
yeah. Let me consult my list. Okay, let's see what percent. I mean, I'm just trying to think back in like averages here. I feel like almost all. I feel like almost all. Yeah.
It's
like
standard sex.
Yeah, it's like kissing basically. It's like
yeah.
It's like one step above kissing. Yeah. Okay, that's yeah. We did that one. Okay. Let's see. Oh, we have another one. Oh, this is a new one.
You know how people say sex is
yeah.
like the definition of sex shouldn't just be like penis and vagina penetrate, you know, like sex can also be oral sex or
right.
mutual masturbation. Like you know, to say we didn't have sex just means we didn't have, the default is we didn't have like PNV penetration.
Intercourse.
Yeah, right. But it's funny that like kissing, because every time I go down on someone, there's like a lot of kissing involved of their pussy. So it was like, how's your day? Well, we kissed. I kissed her vagina for like half an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kissing, sex. Okay. Next question.
Okay. Oh my God, there's so many. I'm just going to start with one of them. Okay. How can you tell if someone you're texting with is into you or just being friendly?
Ask them. Next question.
That's a great answer. I approve. Okay. That's such a good answer. Done. What do you do? Oh, this is a funny question. I had a conversation with this person. Well, not about this question, but okay. What do you do if you're attracted to someone who's not your type? Okay.
Redefine what your type is.
Yeah. Totally. Well, like, I mean, that just for me opens up a conversation about the fact that, like, are there really people out there? And I think that the answer is yes, there are, and that's why it's shocking to me, but that, like, have a quote-unquote type, you know? Like saying, like, I mean, sure, there's, like, you can say there's ideals of things that you think are attractive in the world. You know, I thought that Leonardo DiCaprio, like, whatever, Titanic era was, like, the most beautiful man alive when I was, like, 16 and thought that he was just, like, so dreamy, you know? So, like, you could say that, like, when I was 16, like, he was my type, you know?
That's funny because there are celebrities who you could look less like. You don't look like Leonardo DiCaprio, but you have, like, the same coloring and, like, the same sort of, like, if someone said this is Leonardo DiCaprio's sister, I wouldn't be like, what?
Really?
So, maybe your type is, okay, go
maybe
on.
Maybe my type is just to date people that kind of look like me. Which, I guess people do that, too. No, but that's the whole point of what I'm saying is that, like, I just, everyone I've ever dated has looked entirely different from the next person. Like, there's never been, and so what I take away from this is that I'm attracted to people for, like, their personality, and, like, there are certain traits and, like, characteristics that I appreciate and, like, admire in people, and those are the people that, like, I therefore then become attracted to and fall in love with if I date them, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know that I've ever, like, what do you do if you're attracted to someone who's not your type? I think that, like, you have to ask yourself, like, why do you have a specific, like, hair color or body type or whatever that you like, or, like, ethnicity that you like? Like, that's crazy. That's not crazy. That's just preposterous in my mind in terms of having a deep kind of, if we're talking about, like, loving relationships and not just, like, hooking. Sure, you can, like, hook up with someone who, like, looks like Leonardo DiCaprio from Titanic if you want, you know? But, like, he's probably not going to be the person for you today because he just looks like that. You know, I don't know.
I mean, my short answer to the question is go out with them. And my long answer to the question is there must be a spectrum wherein at one end, people are like, I really don't care. I date people on a case-by-case basis. And type is not a concept that's meaningful to me. And at the other end of the spectrum, I have a friend who I saw last night, and he showed me a picture of a girl that he was attracted to. And I said, this girl is exactly like the kind of girl that you're into dating. And he hooks up with people who are outside of that, but infrequently. And he really does, this does kind of seem to be his thing.
Really?
Yeah.
What was what was specific about her?
They're like short and diminutive and have sort of a like hipsterish vibe to them and are white. So that like all the women that he's really been interested in that I've known him to pursue over the years fall into those categories. They kind of do. If you line them up, you'd be like, whoa, these are really similar. So I feel like he's on the far end of the spectrum. And there must be people who are even farther who are like, you know, have a very specific thing and are just simply not attracted to people who don't possess some characteristic or set of characteristics.
Yeah.
But question asker.
Yeah.
If you're... I mean, I don't even really understand what the problem would be. Like, there's no, it's good to know what your type is and to be able to spot someone and think, oh, this is the kind of person that I'm into. But if you're attracted to someone, then either go outside your type and who cares if it's not your type, if you're attracted to the person, or B, your type isn't what you thought it was.
Right, exactly. And you need to question that, which actually keeps happening to me because I feel like I have this specific list of things that I want in someone that I want to date next. And then I keep meeting these people and I'm like, oh, you're not really like all those things on that list that I like have in my mind, but like, I like you, you know? So
I think
that's for me to just challenge myself and be like, oh, well, that list that you like kind of have in the back of your mind isn't really fair to like the real world and like people that exist in it, because not fair, but it's just like, that's just one idea of like what you think your life is going to be like when you're dating someone. But that doesn't mean that like someone that has all those qualities are going to activate the things in you that you want to have activated when you're dating someone, you know? So
yeah. And it sounds more exciting to meet someone who turns you on despite the fact that they don't hit a lot of the list criteria.
Yeah, totally.
That sounds fun and challenging and spicy and would keep it real interesting.
A doable challenge, not like a challenge like this person's an alcoholic and like, you know, I don't know, terrible things that people could choose to date people or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So. I feel like we did good on that one. Okay. There's so many. Oh my God, we're not gonna be able to get through all of them. Okay, that's okay.
Just like dating.
Just what?
Just like dating. There's always more than you can do.
More, yeah, totally. Okay. This one's short. Have you ever really liked someone but hated the way they kissed? What do you do? Have you ever had that happen?
Yeah. I mean, this is the same. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I've kissed someone once. Like who had braces and it was like really slobbery and gross, but that was like we were teenagers. And then also one of my other first kisses, he was like really tall and like it was just always like really awkward. I don't know. And he was also slobbery, but like those weren't real. I didn't really like those people, so I don't think I've ever had that happen where like I really liked someone that I wasn't into their kissing, but I've never really.
Yeah.
Or I've always been able to adjust it to like suit my kissing vibe.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. There's a lot. It's like our answer to the question before about better sex. There's a lot of prompting, and I feel like you can block off big areas that will, you can cross off huge problems. If the reason you don't like the way someone kisses is because they bite your lip, you can just say like, don't bite my lip.
Yeah.
And then if they don't stop doing it, then they don't get to kiss you anymore.
Yeah.
And then if it's too aggressive, I dated a girl who would just stick her tongue straight out and then just wait for me to like work around it.
What?
And
are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh my God. What?
But she was, I kind of would be like, you know, like I would try to show her with my tongue, and then I'm sure I said something a couple times, but not in a shaming way. You say like, you know, lick my, you, whatever. You tell them, you find some way to describe what to do.
Like, yeah.
And also, cute, she was so, I was so attracted to this girl sexually and personality-wise that it wasn't a huge deal breaker for me.
Yeah.
Now, I have been with people whose body chemistry makes their mouth taste so crazy that I am not into it. Like, I just don't like the way their saliva tastes
maybe
or their mouth tastes.
Yeah, maybe this part,
And that can be, I mean, I bet some people are more sensitive to that than others. In the same way that, do you know some people are like, there's three categories. There's like in between, which is most people. And then there's non-tasters and super tasters, just for how sensitive you are to spice
I didn't know that.
And flavor.
Wow.
So people who are like dousing their, you know, eating ghost peppers raw dog in their entirety, those are non-tasters. They just need like lots of extra stimulus stimulation.
I didn't know that.
So I bet non-tasters don't care. I bet super tasters are very sensitive to this kind of thing. And that is something.
Maybe this person is a super taster, and maybe the person that they're kissing, they like don't like their saliva, and that's fine. But like,
that could be tough. That might be insurmountable if you just really hate the way they taste.
Yeah, I feel like there's not much you can do with that. Yeah.
But there's all kinds of, I mean, I feel like basic bad kissing is very easy to coach somebody on how to do it better.
If you like the person. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. I agree. And you shouldn't be ashamed to like tell them how you want to be kissed. So long as, I mean, honestly, you can get anything if you just ask for it in the right way. You know?
Yeah.
It really is possible. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I just feel like that's true in general.
Yeah.
Kissing, sex, relationships, like whatever, you know?
Yeah. Or it's easy to say what you want to get. And then if the person is not willing to give it to you, then.
And that's not, I'm not trying to say like just manipulate everyone around you, but I'm just saying like it's easy to be clear about what you want. And then, like you said, if people aren't going to give you that or they don't want to change the way they kiss, then you.
Not a match.
Keep kissing them and
next.
That's fine. Yeah, next. Okay, question. Do most girls want to believe their sex dreams are signs of the future? Can you, I guess this one's for me, can you help not being influenced by sex dreams? Okay, I guess that one's for me. Signs of the future. I mean,
You say that question again?
Sure. Do most quote unquote girls want to believe their sex dreams are signs of the future?
Do most girls want to believe that their sex dreams are signs of the future? There's so many like twists to it that I'm trying to figure out what she's asking.
I know. Oh, it's a he.
He's asking.
And then can you help not being influenced by sex dreams? Can you help not being in? It's
do they believe or want to believe? Is that an important distinction?
He must just mean. Do they believe or want to believe what? Wait, what?
That their sex dreams are signs of the future.
Oh, oh.
I'll let you feel this one.
Oh, yeah. You were just asking the question. It's just, it's, yeah. Okay. Do most girls want. Okay. Well, I'm just going to take it. I take it like, basically, are your sex dreams like your actual fantasies or do you view them as just fantasies? You know, like, do you kind of want to translate those things into, yeah. And I would say that. I would say that my dreams and my real life thought processes are one in the same. They're just the same. All my dreams are so just, they're like, it's so interesting that I also like dream vividly. All like I always almost remember them and I write them down and I like talk about them with everyone. People get really bored. But this is one of my favorite things too. I think it's fascinating. It's so interesting. I've been dreaming about spiders recently, like every night for like a week. There's always spiders. I'm having to kill spiders. They're getting all over my arms. It's like a whole thing. Anyways, so the point is that
you should break up with that spider you've been fucking. Clearly,
I should break up with that spider I've been having sex with. Oh wait, there's another one. Oh wait, hold on.
This can I answer this? I love sex dreams because sometimes they alert me to the fact that someone is sexy to me that I hadn't been aware of in my waking life.
Oh my god, that's such a good point.
I've like,
totally. I've had that happen where I'm like, oh my god, I just had sex with my friend in this dream.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
I didn't know that. I thought they were cute. Yeah,
yeah, I'll definitely put it in the spank bank. And if I ever see an opportunity to like pounce on it in real life, then I'll do it.
Totally. Okay, wait, this person clarifies. Let me pre-read to make sure it's like PC.
People are so interactive.
I know, it's really interactive. Basically, do you start to hope they will come true? Wait, and if you want to be realistic, how? And if you want to be realistic, how do you not think about it? Basically, do you start to hope they will come true? Well, I think that in essence, like, isn't a dream.
This is like, I know you're listening, so I hope it don't hurt your feelings, but your questions are like those emails you get that just have like a bunch of words in them at the bottom.
What emails?
Those spam emails that are just like, have like passages of text at the bottom that are just like random collages of words. And you're like, oh, I don't understand how this is supposed to trick me out of my money, but.
Yeah, but somehow your father died and like there's an inheritance somewhere.
Okay, so trying to figure out the question.
Well, okay, so I think that what they're saying though too is like, do you think that your dream, like do you want your dreams to come true? And I would say, yeah, I would say that like for the most part, when you dream about something, it's like, because that's a fantasy that you like are fantasizing about, and like fantasy and reality, sure, well, they're different things. I mean, I think that for the most part, that's because you're thinking about it, except sometimes I have fantasies, or not fantasies, dreams about sleeping with ex-boyfriends, and it's the worst, and I wake up and I'm like, oh, like, that was terrible. Yeah. I don't like that. I don't like that person. Like, ew, you know? So that's one case where it's like, I don't want that to come true. But in general, I think that, yeah, I think that, like,
I kind of think it doesn't matter. Like, you know what you want.
I'm sure a dream is just like a fictional thing.
If it alerts you to an attraction that you weren't aware of or weren't acknowledging to yourself, then that's really helpful. And thanks, dream.
Totally.
But I feel like you know what you want, and it shouldn't be. I don't think that like it's that important to pay attention to a dream that you have. I've had sex dreams about people that I would never hook up with, or that it's sort of like wrong to, you know, in some social way for me to hook up with in real life.
Yeah, totally.
I mean,
well, I guess also it has to do with like, what was your sentiment in the dream? Was it actually like, because you know, sometimes like for example, like I've like had violent things happen in my dream sometimes, but there's no charge, there's no fear, there's no actual emotion that would be associated with real life violence. And so it's just the act of something violent, but it has none of the sentiment of that. So for example, I've had sex dreams about people where there wasn't really a charge. There wasn't like a real emotion. There wasn't a passion. It was just kind of like, oh, what? Okay. You know, so it's just like something happening. It's like, oh, I'm having brunch with my sister. It's like, I'm having sex with, it's like, doesn't mean anything, even in the dream, you know? So I think you have to consider that, but yeah. Okay. Wait. And then there's one like other sub question, from same texter. How do you feel when/if your IRL sex doesn't live up to your dream sex with the same guy or girl? How do you feel when and if your IRL sex doesn't live up to your dream sex? So it's like if you like have fantasies, sex with someone, and then you like have sex with them in real life.
You're like
and
sliding down a rainbow with them. Coming,
yeah, coming huge like fountains times. Of
jizz.
Yeah.
100 times in a row.
The girl's like squirting. And like, right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Realize the dreams enjoy are your just dream. Dreams.
Yeah.
And then, like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, enjoy your dreams. Yeah.
And tell, you know, maybe tell the person who you're fucking like, I had the craziest sex dream about us. And then
yeah.
Maybe there'll be some piece of it that'll catch hold and they can actually incorporate it into yeah, the IRL maybe sex.
They'll be like, oh, was there something that we should do? You know?
Or like, not, yeah, yeah. Or just be like, it was hilarious. And I love the IRL sex we're having. So let's have that now.
So let's do that because this is real life.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes total sense. Okay, that question is so long. I don't think we have time for that one.
So long.
So long, that question. Okay, if you have sex with a pregnant chick, is it technically a three-way? That's not really a question. That's just a statement.
Hey, tweet that little joke.
Yeah, I know I should. Thoughts on vagina rejuvenation? Oh, man. That seems like a loaded question. I don't know if I have any thoughts on vagina rejuvenation. Oh, I don't think I want to think about that.
I mean, I don't think anybody can ask someone else to have it. I think if you want to have it because it'll make you feel happier about yourself and you can afford to have it, like,
yeah.
I guess go ahead and do it. I personally don't know that I've hooked up with a rejuvenated vagina.
Ew.
And yeah. I mean,
well, there's a practicality of it too, which isn't fun to think about in terms of sex, but like when women do like have babies sometimes, don't they have to like do, no, but that's just, but I think that's different from like vagina rejuvenation is like because you want some, it's like getting like a penis implant or something. Mm. It's not because like there's a problem. It's like
elective,
because, right? I haven't researched the issue, but like,
I don't know,
I would say,
either. I would just say if it's something that carries significant health risks along with the surgery, then
yeah.
You shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Unless you're willing to, I guess, I don't judge. I mean,
know.
If you can afford like, it and want it, do it.
I think that's, yeah, I don't know.
But not because you feel. Try to love, I mean, this is weird for me to say, but like, you should love your body.
You should love your
I'll
body
be more
and
general.
Your vagina the way that it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah.
Not everybody, I mean, people don't need, if you're dating someone who's like, you got to have a rejuvenated pussy. But I understand, like, I mean, you know, I will like, like manscape. Thank God for that word. Like
manscape.
Yeah. If
yeah.
Saying like I trim my pubes, that just does not sound,
that doesn't sound
the same
and
thing.
And then you have to talk about how you're a vegan in the same
yeah.
sentence. That's like not a good opener. Sorry.
That's a.
You
that's
have a girlfriend. I don't have a boyfriend.
That's a cunnilingus-free first date right there.
Yeah.
I trim my pubes and I'm a vegan. Where are you going? But
yeah.
Like so that's like, you know, I don't think people care that much. I mean, I don't, it's like
yeah.
But it's for me, it makes me feel a lot more comfortable and sexier when I'm hooking up. So I guess the same principle applies. If you're going to be much happier if you have this surgery that's not going to do long-term damage
I
to you.
Oh, so, yeah.
You know, who are
so.
We to judge?
Who are we to judge? Yeah. Okay. And then, well, technically we're like a little over time, but we started a little late. So we can take one more. There's
all right.
This other short question.
Yeah.
Let's do this one. Okay, signing up for escort dating sites. What do you think of getting paid to go on international baller trips or dating millionaires, international laws and strangers?
International baller trips, is that what she said?
International baller trips or dating millionaires, yeah. So I had a conversation with this person, and it's a girl, and so apparently there are these sites that are basically like rich guys just want to date women who want you to like take them shopping and on trips. And like, I mean, I guess inherent in that is that like, you're probably gonna have sex with them, but it's like, it's still like a dating site. So it's not like an escort service, you know? So it's a weird fine line. But when I first heard about that through my friend, she was kind of like, I'm thinking about doing this. And I was like, wait, what? Like, that seems kind of immorally like weird. And she was like, but is it? Because what if I want like these things? Like, what if I want to go shopping and go travel the world? And like, I really like the guy and he's just being super upfront about the fact that like, he's got money and like wants to have a companion and there's no obligation to sleep with him or anything. So it's not actually like an escort type of thing. And what was interesting about the conversation is that, sorry, I'm just like answering it with
yeah.
our previous conversation. But what I think is like kind of fascinating about this idea is that like, if we're both clear about the fact that like, you know, when you're dating someone, you want something from that person and they want something from you. If you can like be clear about what you want and what they want, like what's wrong with that? You know what I mean? I feel like it's fine. If you're clear about the fact that you're not going to feel shitty having someone buy you stuff who probably just wants to do it to sleep with you and that's going to make you feel okay, then I'd say sign up for the escort dating site and go on an amazing trip and like have them take you shopping. If you think that's going to make you feel shitty, don't do it. But do you know what I mean? I don't know.
I mean, the thoughts that occur to me are, one, don't go on an international trip with someone who you've never met in person.
Right.
Emails and even Skyping. Like, you need to be in the room with that person before you take a trip overseas with them. Where they're going to have control, presumably, over your finances. And if you need to beat a hasty retreat, are you going to be able to afford to do that? If not, don't go. And I would say, you know, depending on what you're up for, if your friend is just legit willing to exchange sex for shopping and a trip and being wined and dined fancily, then cool. But really, like, would you?
But like, the other thing is kind of, don't you just want to be able to do those things on your own as like a strong, independent woman? Like, I mean, for me, I would just want to be able to like pay for my own vacation shopping and like have sex with who I want to have sex with.
Now, that said, the truth is that there are older men who have had more career time to start earning a higher salary, who want to take care, who like get a thrill sexually and or non-sexual of like taking care of a younger woman that they're attracted to. And you know, if you're younger, odds are you don't have as much money as someone who's been like having a career for decades and decades. Plus men make, you know, $100 to women 70 cents. So, you know, maybe that plays into whatever. Don't want to go there. But that could be a mutually beneficial thing, but I just feel like it's a safety issue. Like, you would need to, I would recommend being
I think maybe the tone of the question was like kind of tongue-in-cheek, but like not like, I think she was like actually considering it.
I think it sounds
like, but I feel like she was also kind of like, oh, this is a funny thing that exists, so
yeah,
don't worry.
I mean, you know, if you meet them
before,
about
her safety is what I mean, but also
I would stipulate like, you need to, I need, like, sex is not a guarantee. Like, if it happens, cool, but like, I really mean it. This is not my code of saying we're gonna have sex. Like, I want to reserve the right of deciding that. And I want my own hotel room the whole time. Maybe I'll come over to your room and we'll start canceling those rooms, but like, that needs to be upfront and agreed upon. And then I would just be like, I need an itinerary, and I need like, I'm going to be checking in with somebody like every day until I start feeling like, you definitely do need to consider safety in this kind of thing.
If you're meeting someone that you don't know online, and I even feel weird about that. Like, I'm not doing it now, but I did it like a few months ago, like online dating. And even though I made them meet me like all like at places that like I go to all the time, you know, and mostly in the day because I'm weird and like think dates are much
totally
better
smart
than like, let's get a drink. I don't know. I still was always like, am I going to get murdered?
Yeah.
I don't know. Even though we've got mutual friends on Facebook, am I about to get raped? Like, it's always in the back of your mind, you know?
That's smart. And so, I think this sounds like it could be a really good thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It's, you know, sex is an exchange. Like you said, both people want something and you find a place to meet in the middle that works for both of you. But
it's
you just have to cover your bases.
Yeah, you have to cover it. But it's just funny. I think for me, it's funny just to like open up that dialogue about basically being like, oh, like, and almost even more beyond just like, you know, oh, I want sex and you want someone to have sex with, or sorry, like if it's a guy, like, oh, I want sex and like, oh, I'm a woman, oh, I want like someone to pay for me to go shopping. Like, even taking it to, you know, a deeper place of like, oh, well, I want, you know, whatever, a house and like a baby and like, you know, whatever, like these things in my life, and being like, who can provide these things for me? You know, like, that's kind of a weird way to think about dating, because it's not very, I mean, to me, it's not very like holistic in the sense of like, oh, what's your connection with that person? And like, where are they in their life? And like, what can, you know, your experience be with that person? But like, I wonder if some people really do think about like, I think that they do. I think they think about like, what can I get out of this relationship? And what can like, we both get and grow, you know? Does that make sense?
That's a relationship model.
I mean,
the older man, younger woman thing.
Yeah, no, it totally is.
And it works. I mean, it works for people.
Totally.
I think you can be really happy that way.
Yeah, people, I
guess. If your friend is only in it, though, like if she hates the dudes and is repelled by them.
Yeah.
and is doing this for the shopping and trips, like that doesn't sound ideal to me.
No, she would never do that. Yeah, no, I think that's terrible. And well, yeah, yeah, no, that's not, yeah.
It does, I gotta say, I don't judge the situation.
Yeah.
It does sound like the odds are kind of high that you're gonna get into a situation where you have to be like,
I don't wanna have sex. Yeah.
And they're gonna be kind of, I mean, I feel like you could just say.
When you're putting yourself in those situations.
If I were like, not from the sugar daddy perspective, but if I just invited a woman to go on a trip with me and she said yes and was like, but I don't want to hook up, I would probably be like, oh, well, that's the reason that I want to go on this trip with you. So if that's not part of it, then okay.
Yeah, and I feel like all the more so when they say that too. Like, I've had guy friends of mine that I've known for years, you know, be like, oh, hey, I'm going to Mexico next week. Like, don't you want to come? I promise it'll be, you know, just friendly. And it's like, oh really? Like, I'm sorry, that's a lie. You want to go on a trip with me and have it be a romantic trip, just don't lie about it, you know? Like, that's crazy. Don't I don't know, I feel
so
like
all the more so when it's a escort dating site.
It's in the
question. we're not gonna have sex, that won't even be part of it. Just let me take you, strange person, and pay for your shopping, and I won't expect much in return.
I don't want
to. Some people maybe do want someone to just go hang out with them, but I feel like there's cheaper, easier ways to get that.
There's lots of other ways.
Do it, but be careful.
Well, with that, I think that we should put on, I always like wait till the last minute to choose my song for the out part of the song, of the show. The pressure. Oh, what song do I
want?
Want
me to plug things while you look for songs?
Plug things?
Yeah, to your listeners.
Is that allowed? Okay, sure, do it.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Here, I'm gonna, hunt through iTunes. So,
I mean, yeah, go ahead.
You should come to Tex French Restaurant in Echo Park on Sunday nights at 10 p.m.
You should.
It's a free comedy show, different lineup every week.
It's amazing.
And yeah, it's just a bunch of comedians working out new material. It's a free show. It's really fun. And how about if you mention that you came, if you come up to me or Gaia and mention that you came because you heard this, I'll give you a free drink voucher for,
oh my God, that's nice.
Yeah, for mentioning it.
Ooh, cool.
So come for that. And yeah, my Twitter is at Zach Sherwin. My YouTube is /Zach Sherwin. I have videos up there. My website is ZachSherwin.com. My Instagram is Zach Sherwin. My Facebook fan page is Sherwin Zach. Damn it, it was already taken.
It was already taken, really?
He's a philosophy academic in at Barry University college. I think it's in Atlanta.
Oh man.
He and I have emailed before.
Been murdered. Wait, isn't there, what's that episode? What's that show about the Silicon Valley people?
Silicon Valley?
Is it called?
Yeah.
Is it? Where like he gets stuck in the Google car and like goes on the.
I've actually never seen the show, but there is a show called Silicon Valley on HBO about guys in Silicon Valley.
I don't know if it's that one. Shoot, what's it called? Oh fuck, I can't remember. But anyways, but they like tracked out. They want this one name of like this thing, and they try and like get the name from the other person. And yeah, but you should like go murder this guy who goes to Barry.
He's really nice.
Facebook.
He's really nice. We've emailed before.
You have not.
We have, because I wanted. I used to
oh
have.
Oh my God!
A,
you actually approached him to try and get the name.
We've talked before, not about Facebook, but when I was switching, I used to rap under the name MC Mr. Napkins, and that was like my stage name.
I was actually sad that that went away, but I think you explained it in a way that like I felt okay about the world.
Yeah,
so
and if you want to feel okay about it, I have a video on my YouTube channel called Stage Name that you can check out, and it'll explain the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I emailed him around then, and I was like, hey man, I'm switching over to Zach Sherwin. I'd really love to have the YouTube channel, which you have as a default result of having the Gmail address now that Google bought YouTube. And I was like, is there any way I could buy your email address off of you?
Yeah.
And he was like, stop emailing me now. We'd exchanged Pleasurable. But then I learned that you had first choice, but if you hadn't claimed it, somebody else could get it. And so I swooped in and got it anyways.
Oh, yeah. What a punch in the face. That's awesome.
So I got it.
Cool.
He doesn't care. He's not putting YouTube videos.
He doesn't care.
Yeah,
whatever.
It's important for me.
You do. It matters to you. Yeah.
Right.
Whoever it matters most to, I think, should get,
they should
the
get
name.
It. If you're a public figure and a non-public figure has the thing, just stop squatting on
it. Just make them go away. Yeah.
Come on. Be a person.
Yeah, be a person. Anyways, okay. Thank you so much. This was wonderful.
Thanks for having me. I love talking about this stuff.
I like to do the recap that like is totally unnecessary, but
communicate.
Let's recap. Communication. But yes, thank you again so much for being
Thanks
here.
Thanks for having. Anytime, would love to come back.
Sunday, I'm sure.
See you on a Sunday.
And thank you everyone for listening. Thank you, K Chung, 16:30 AM. All that good stuff. Okay. Sounds good. Goodbye.
Bye guys. Yeah.
You know who I'm thinking about right now?
Slow jam.
My angel.